Well, a very good evening and thanks for tuning in to Terrace Talk here on Radio Kerry. Coming live from our studio here in Tralee with myself, Donal Barry. And on tonight's show, we're going to feature a small bit on that heartbreaking defeat for the Kerry senior Camogie side, who lost to Kilkenny after extra time on Saturday in the semi-final of the Intermediate Championship. What a fantastic game that was. We look back at Sunday's All-Ireland final in the company of Liam Brosson and John Kennedy. We will take a look at some of the action from this weekend's senior Intermediate Club Championship football games, of course. The opening rounds getting underway in the company of Andrew Moynihan. And in the second hour, we chat to the 1987 All-Ireland winning captain, Margaret Flattery. I suppose she's full of Flattery, I suppose she'll be, in the build-up to next Sunday's All-Ireland Senior Ladies Football Final. And then from 7.20 this evening, we chat with the Kerry FC. I suppose the academy, I suppose, under 14, under 15, is a lot of publicity at the moment for their senior team. But what's going on, I suppose, at the back end of the club, and how is the production line going? And of course, they're looking forward to their big trip to London in the next couple of weeks. That's the Kerry FC Academy, and we'll be talking to a few of them as well. The team of the championship, of course, it was named last night. Have you got a view on it? If you have, give us a call, 0667123666, or you can text us on 083 300 3300, and we'll discuss that with Liam and John as well. Now, one of the most heartbreaking results of the weekend for Kerry had to be that Kerry senior Camogie loss to Kilkenny of all teams after extra time, there for us and there for nearly everybody else as well. Was Dermot Kearney, a very, very busy man. Dermot, how heartbreaking was that defeat in the end?
Donal, it was, as you say, just completely and utterly heartbreaking. And you could see it when, you know, the girls were on the field after the full-time whistle had blown. You know, Kilkenny were naturally full of jubilation and were celebrating on the field, and the girls were, you know, were absolutely heartbroken, soul-destroying, if you want to say that as well. And even when they were getting on the bus after, you could still see it on the faces. And, you know, the result really, you know, doesn't sell the story of the game, just how well they did perform on the day. But Kilkenny are a very experienced team. They're unbeaten in the championship, and they'll be looking to win the All-Ireland this year. But look, they produced a phenomenal performance, and they can hold their heads up high.
Mm-hmm. And to put into context for listeners to I suppose maybe understand the league and where we are at the moment, I mean, this was the semi-final of the All-Ireland Intermediate Championship. I mean, this was technically two wins away from, you know, getting in at the top end of the table. Talk us through their campaign, maybe, how they got to this stage, because obviously, I mean, you don't fall into a semi-final by accident. I mean, they obviously covered themselves in quite a lot of glory to get to here as well, because they did come off the back of a pretty poor league, maybe.
They did, and I suppose when, you know, they made that step up to Division 1D this year, and that was a new horizon for them. They had been, you know, soldiering around the lower divisions, if you want to call it that, for the years, and now they were taking on, you know, the top brass teams. You know, they faced the likes of Limerick there and Antrim, who, you know, even though they were in a relegation dogfight in the senior, they're still been around for years and they're very experienced. And coming off the back of it, you thought, look, they need to pick themselves up. They made that intermediate final in Munster and lost to a Tipperary team who are now preparing for an All-Ireland Junior final in the coming weeks. And then from that, it was the case of, right, we have to dust the bodies off and head into the All-Ireland series. And, you know, they started with a fairly emphatic result against a second-string Antrim team, if you want to say. They were dogged by injuries and poor numbers this year. And then they faced Dublin. And when they beat Dublin, that was a very emphatic result to say, look, they are, you know, they're there to compete. That kind of set the scene that they could definitely get one of the top three places in that group. Beating a team like Kildare, then it was the case of, okay, look, we have another result that's three wins from three. But then it was that Kilkenny game in Lixna. That was the game. They lost by 8 points. It was the first time they'd ever played Kilkenny in the intermediate grade, and that was something that it certainly hurt them to try and get that top spot in the group. Now, they bounced back from it, you know, fairly well. And they got they got results right against Carlow, and then they played Meath. But now that Meath game, you could probably take it, you know, they were true, they weren't going to take top spot in the group, but they wanted to get the results. Unfortunately, they suffered a defeat, but then they bounced back the last day against Galway, you know, a very experienced Galway team. And then from there, it set the scene heading for Turles on Saturday against Kilkenny.
Mm-hmm, absolutely, and of course it was Turles as well. Listen, Dermot, I suppose, it's hard to cast an eye, I suppose, on the performers, and you know, every one of them probably played to the best that they could and to get over the line. When it got to extra time, Kilkenny got a couple of points to get away, but there was a goal, and that kind of gave a small bit of momentum to Kerry, did it?
It did. You know, look, I suppose when it went to extra time, you know, bodies were tired, and, you know, Kilkenny started off, they got the opening score, they had the wind in the first half of extra time. Now, in the first half of the game, they had the wind as well. They didn't exactly kick on as well as you would have expected. And, you know, almost from nothing, Ellen O'Donoghue had a shot on the sideline. It looked like it was dropping in, you know, like it was going to go over for a point, and it drops into the hand of Jackie Horgan. And to give her the credit, the way that the movement to turn and to put the slitter right into the back of the Kilkenny net, that gave the boost. It was just 3 minutes into that half. And, you know, even from a Kilkenny perspective, when Amy O'Sullivan scored the first goal of the game after 9 minutes, that was the first time in the championship that Kilkenny had actually conceded a goal. Not to mind the fact that Kerry had got that early lead and got the momentum boost, it did put Kilkenny onto the, you know, the pin of their collar. And to give them their credit, you know, they bounced back. Again, it was level by half time, and while it was, you know, fairly tit for tat in the second half, it was another goal that would ultimately be the decision maker. And Caroline Kennedy, you know, she gets the space, Crea Langton manages to find the pass inside, and she puts it into the back of the net. And despite Patrice Diggin going down the other end and getting a score, and the Kerry, to be fair, they kept their heads up, they didn't let it get the better of them, they just couldn't get those scores in the final few minutes to potentially give us another 5 minutes of extra time.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. Well, look, they were absolutely fantastic. It's an amazing achievement, and it's a long road travelled by a lot of those girls as well, because I can remember them down at junior and travelling all the way up through intermediate and the whole lot, and the same with the leagues as well, all coming out, and a lot of them the same players as well. And, you know, I suppose, look, maybe for the next day or two it'll hurt, but the fact that, you know, you're playing Kilkenny in an intermediate All-Ireland semi-final, you're pushing them to extra time, it only bodes good for the future. Darren Carney, listen, thanks very much for joining us this evening. We'll catch up with you in a couple of weeks with Kerry FC as well, a man of many hats and a man of many talents. Now, a man of a lot of other talents too is our Uachtaráin of Cumann na Lucas Gael. Listen to this.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you're a parent who's put a set of GAA posts in your back garden, this belongs to you. If you're a coach from under 8 to senior, this belongs to you. If you're a member of the committee at any level that organises our games voluntarily, this belongs to you. If you're a linesman or an umpire at our club matches or our underage games in the cold winters and wind, this belongs to you. If you line the pitch or cut the grass or put out flags, today belongs to you. If you make the tea after the game, or if you're a teacher who gives up your time to help our pupils develop our games, this belongs to you. Today is your day, because the GAA is where we all belong.
There you go. The GAA is where we all belong. John Kennedy, I suppose you don't, everyone does jobs, did you? Line the field, make the tea, cut the grass.
We need a few of them, all right.
Liam Brosnan, he just watches games. No,
we've done a lot of them jobs.
Wasn't it different though, really? Wasn't it different?
Yeah.
And it was coming from a man that has started at the grassroots and it hasn't lost it, to be fair. Do you know?
He's the perfect Uachtaráin in a sense, because he came from the grassroots. He's the teacher. He has that side of him as well. He captained Armagh. He understands how it is to progress and how much hard work goes in. And he obviously has a son playing as well, so he's still kind of well connected. And up to 5 years ago, he was on the executive of the Armagh County Board as well. He really has a grasp for it and a total understanding of what it should be. And he ticks all the boxes, Liam.
He does. And we've all seen pictures and videos of him either doing umpire or collecting at the gate, and he's collecting the rubbish. He was doing it, and it's not for show. No, he was a genuine, you know, club guy, county guy. And there's a lot of them in every county. And that speech just to sum up the whole thing, probably the last day of the year, really, of your into county. And he gives, and he brought everyone into it in that speech.
Mm-hmm. And of course, John Kennedy, he gave the cup to an Armagh man.
He did, yeah. And as he said, who would have thought it at the start of the year? Do you know? And
did you think it?
No. To be fair,
you were picking Derry.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, we said here a few times, like, Armagh have talent. And we said here after the league game, was it 2 years ago, Liam, that if they played and attacked, I think they maybe were a bit flamboyant before.
They were still in our top five.
They were still there.
Yeah.
They went so negative then. But I think this past 12 months, they have a balance.
Balance, yeah.
And the transition from defence to attack, they have the players, they have the bench, and they have a super manager. Mm-hmm. To be fair, and listening to the, even before it yesterday in the build up, and listening to the comments last night, the respect the players have, the bond is there with them. And I think Oisin Conaghy was interviewed last night. He had a soccer career ahead of him, and he had a chat with Kieran McGeaney. There was only one thing he was going to do, and that was play for Armagh.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Kieran McKeever was the minor manager. He was brought on board
He surrounded himself with very good fellows.
And Kieran Dan, he played a massive part, to be fair. You have to say that. He surrounded him with great people. And of course, there's a kind of connection with the wife, Mara Rahilly from Ballymac. But, you wouldn't be shouting. I wouldn't shouting against either team yesterday, because mm-hmm. Pádraig Joyce, mm-hmm. massive GA man, great man, great footballer.
They were two
man.
Very good managers, weren't they? Yeah. And both. Great iconic players, obviously, you know, great managers, and commanded the respect of players and the whole lot. Liam, is that what it's ultimately about at the end of it, that what your player thinks of you? Because obviously, I mean, Kieran McGeaney had plenty of rocky boats all the way through.
Yeah.
Delegates didn't think a whole pile of him. He had that spill in Kildare that didn't really end that well either. You know, he'd leave as well. But ultimately, is it what the player says at the end of the journey? Is that where the credence is?
It is. And I think, look, we've all been involved in management teams. And if you don't have the dressing room, you're really ploughing a lone furrow. And he had the dressing room. And I think it was the players that saved him that time. Was it last August, actually? Mm-hmm. It was the players that saved him. But you could see it. And I suppose, look, it's grand now. You can see after winning and the Jubilee and all this kind of stuff that goes on. But, like, that man put down a hard time.
Mm-hmm.
He's not a guy that'll come out and say it in so many words, but like inter-county football now, it's high stakes, it's high pressure. And you could even Joyce's interview after the game, they were gutted, the Cork manager last week. I don't know, they put their life into it. It's like Kieran Donaghy going up the road, 4.5 hours up, 4.5 hours down. It is, you know, we can say what we want and what they get and all this kind of stuff, but it's a massive commitment. And at the end of the day, like what they say, a pat in the back is only 6 inches from a kick in the arse. Like, and
depending how tall you are, obviously.
And definitely that is, you know, I suppose inter-county footballer, even especially down here in Kerry anyway, that is, it's high stakes. Like, and you'd want to be cut out for it, but I know Kieran Donaghy. I played with him and I've managed with him with the college and stuff like that. I could see his handprint all over it. Mm-hmm. All over, even at the Kerry match.
Seeing that you have that unique insight to him, what's he like on the sideline? I mean, what did he bring? I mean, he strikes me as a leader. He strikes me as a guy who kind of takes control, gives clear direction, all that kind of stuff. But what kind of guy is he on the sideline?
He's a player's man, Donal. He's a guy that will walk into the corner and put the arm around the fella, whether you're playing well or not playing well. He's a guy that when he talks, everyone listens. Mm-hmm. We were listening. Everyone, he's such a big guy. He's so commanding. But he's been there. He's done it. He's done it at basketball level, international level. He's done it at football. He just commands so much when he comes into a room. So I can imagine him walking in above Tarmay. These guys would have looked up to him. They would have done anything for him. And you can see from the interviews and you can see from the elation that they had, they're mad about him. I know a lot of people would like to see him back here. But I'd say Armagh will try everything in their in their hands to keep on him for another 4 years, because what kind of words you could use from him. He's a bubbly character then as well. Mm-hmm. But the one thing he is good at, he can read the game and he likes doing things different. You saw the couple of moves that they have and stuff like that. It's coming from his basketball, but he's not afraid to try things.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why you could see Armagh, especially when they were going forward, his handprint was all over it.
And yet, John Kennedy, Galway probably woke up this morning with the same feeling Kerry had 2 weeks ago with the amount of missed chances they had. And, they created enough maybe to win it or pinch it, definitely.
Oh, there's no doubt they had the chances, you know. I think was it 52% conversion rate. I mean, you'll win no match with that, yeah. Let alone in All-Ireland. Some of the chances, you know, Shane Welsh, Killian McDade, Dylan McHugh, the one off the post at the end.
How unlucky is that?
That's like? How close it is, do you know. But like, you look at the pressure Armagh put on them, and when Killian McDade was dispossessed, I think Ben Creeley in front of the Cusack stand, like, you'd rarely see McDade dispossessed. Mm-hmm. That was a fantastic piece of defending. They had it down to fine art, but still Galway had those chances, and twill haunt them for the rest, you know, for quite a long time, because it was there for them. Mm-hmm.
Unlike the Kerry loss, I mean, they were in the game, yeah, all the way here, weren't they?
Oh, they were, yeah. And you know, it was just little things, I suppose. The goal by Adam McKay, you know, they just lost that bit of concentration. Campbell came at the pace. Mm-hmm. Was he going to fist the point?
Was it a pass or
was it? That's the question. You know, it ended up in the back of net, and they are the narrow margins. Yeah. But like Galway will be, they'll be licking their wounds for quite some time, because it was a game that they let slip.
Yeah. But the way Armagh play, they won't go out and destroy a team.
No.
You know, and you could see at half time that they were happy enough just to stay close as possibly, hold on to their coattails, because they knew going down the stretch, I suppose, from the years of setbacks, from all the adversity and the defeats down through the years, they knew there was something in the tank. And I hope our Kerry ladies might learn from it now next week as well. You know, all these losses and everything, you've got to store it and you've got to build it up and use it, and they definitely use it this year, because you know, you could see it was like us in 22. I thought that there was no team really going to beat us. You could see in Kerry that there was a bounce in them. There was something that was kind of
there was a focus. Wasn't
there was there? A focus, and they were the same now this year as well. Armagh, like, you know, once they could stay in the game for so long, you could see, and then they had Soupy to come off the bench, and they had a couple of weapons as well to push them on. You know, and
there was a belief there.
There was a fierce belief.
Charlie Oak Burns in the interview, he was going travelling for the year.
Yeah,
and he decided to come back. He said it could be the year. They felt there was something there, you know, and like that's they were at the top table. It was about getting the cup, mm-hmm. and like it was, you know, there were battles, but I think the Kerry victory was the one. That was the one that says yes, we can. We can do it now.
Yeah, and to win in All-Ireland or to win any final, really, you need a bit of luck, a rub of the green. And I got that yesterday as well. And I suppose that helps as well.
Yeah, and of course it brings the excitement and the colour, I mean, when you're away from it. Yeah. I doubt it Kerry got to the final, we should create that colour, Liam, would we?
Very doubtful, no. No. Yeah.
And that kind of says a lot in that sense that, you know, when you're kind of eating at the table all the time, you become accustomed to it and the whole lot. Like,
go back to 97 for Kerry. Yeah. You know, there was the Croke Park was green. There was a bit of a famine that time,
yeah.
And it did. So I suppose, look, it's been a long time since they were there. So that brings out the colour as well.
Yeah, and
a bit of hunger.
Well, after the break, we will take a quick look at the team of the championship, and Andrew Moynihan will join us as well, because our own championship is after starting.
I hope for that.
All the games in Bankton Club. It's kind of strange to think that, you know, our Kerry senior players should have been in Croke Park, but instead they were in Glenfisk and Spa and Ostensack Park and down the park itself over the weekend, and many other fields as well, I presume. But we'll talk about all that after this break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Back to Terrace Talk to Owen Barry here, Liam and John, taking a quick look at the team of the championship. Of course, that was the All-Ireland Championship team. We'll go through them, we'll discuss them fairly quickly, because we want to move on to our club championship as well. Andrew just rocked into the office there as well. Liam, I suppose no shock that Armagh have most players on the team. I mean, you win the All-Ireland, you kind of have that feel that you're going to get 7 or 8. And I mean, some of these will probably mirror maybe the All-Stars in a couple of months' time as well. Blaine Hughes, goalkeeper.
Yeah, you couldn't argue with that.
There wasn't really a standout keeper.
But he was solid for Armagh.
Yeah, yeah. And you look back at the end of the year, and he's the only fella maybe that you put a tick beside, didn't blow up or didn't cost a goal or didn't give away anything out of the way. So he was quite safe. The full back line, John Kennedy, Johnny McGrath, Galway, decent player to be fair. Aaron McKay, the full back, of course, yesterday, and Barry McCambridge probably slotted back into the cornerback area as well. Fairly deserved, this.
Yeah,
was,
Johnny McGrath, great man marker, and I think McKay had a great game yesterday, and you know, got the goal into the bargain. McCambridge has been hugely impressive.
He's
one of the best man markers in the game, and he's chipped in with a few scores as well. So you know, you couldn't argue with them, really, being honest with you.
The half-back line, Dylan McHugh, who we've mentioned here a few times in passing as a great player. Aidan Farker, of course, has been around for a long time with Armagh there. And Padraig Mogan sneaking in from Donegal. I suppose Jimmy McGuinness's revival, I suppose, kind of unearthed a few Donegal players too.
He did, but he was very good all year. Mm-hmm. No, he'd be a guy that if Donegal got to the final would be heading for player of the year as well, at the way he was scoring from half-back and attacking. Mm-hmm. He had a very good year for Donegal.
Proper midfielders, John Kennedy, the middle.
Yeah,
Conroy, 35 years old, proves age. You can do it at any age if you're good enough.
Outstanding, really. Very consistent. Great man to kick a long-range point. And, you know, he's the heartbeat of Galway, really. Ben Creeley had a very solid year for Armagh. Mm. And, you know, Niall Grimley, in fairness, I suppose, coming back from an injury, if he had been there earlier on, he'd been rocking in the boat too. But, you know, the two best midfielders in the country, I think, over the campaign. And for consistency and for leadership, you couldn't argue.
I thought this next man, John Maher, was outstanding.
Paris Talk on Radio Kerry. Brought to you in association with Meadowlands.
There we go. I think they're trying to cut us off. Ivan must be back in the office.
John Maher was excellent.
John Maher was excellent.
Living for Galway. Yeah.
His work rate is incredible.
Incredible, yeah. Yeah.
Incredible.
Yeah.
He looked like a guy that was going to take him on his own.
He was, wild. We'd often see Paddy Clifford, even at club level, you know, catching the name, the game by the back of the neck and going. He was one of those guys yesterday.
Yeah. Rian O'Neill, absolutely no stranger there. Fantastic season for him. Oisín Connolly.
Yeah, great start. I think, he 3 points again yesterday. You know, when they needed scores, when some of the marquee players weren't kicking, Oisín Connolly came up, and, you know, his pace created a lot of problems defensively as well, but richly deserves it, and a great talent for the future.
And he was the guy that kept around for the soccer.
Yeah, absolutely. Rob Finnerty didn't stay on the field long enough yesterday. Maybe, I mean, 7 or 8 minutes went off injured. Great season up to that. Oisín Gallan, Donegal again getting a second one, and Conor Turbutt, who was maybe a small bit quieter than normal, was he?
He was their top scorer, though. Mm-hmm. You know, he was their danger threat the whole time. They took him off against us and brought him on again. He made a massive difference. You know, I think overall from the whole thing, I'd only one fella, you know, that kind of would be aggrieved. I think Sam McElroy.
Yeah.
From all met for Sam,
but he was second top scorer in the championship.
Yeah, he'd a great
second top scorer in the championship playing for Louth. I know they mightn't have played, but I think
they didn't get out of their group, did they? Well, they did.
They got to
beat Cork,
for sure.
And I'd say as well, Liam, Ryan McHugh,
had
a great year, but he was coming up against Dylan McHugh or Padraig Mogan, so he wasn't going, you know. Yeah. But a fantastic.
If I was having a 16-17, they're two wise. 16,
yeah,
17.
Exactly.
And seeing you're all throwing those fellas in, I better throw one in as well. I think Rory Grogan should be on that team. I don't know.
Well, yeah.
He had a good year, yeah.
But that's always a good thing with all star teams and these teams. Everyone has their own.
Liam, any Kerry men close to us?
I wouldn't have any trouble, to be honest. Yeah. Not at who we played and the way we played.
Yeah.
I don't think we deserved anyone.
I suppose, Donal, if we were told at the start of the year there'd be no Kerry, or Dublin, or Mayo player on the best 15, you'd be looking, wouldn't you?
So that's why all the Dublin and Kerry fellas are on the rules committee, I suppose, changing the way football is played. So.
Change it fast.
And that's what's going to happen out of it. I mean, it's great to celebrate the result for Armagh and Galway and everything, but I mean, as a result of maybe the way the football has been played, people are going to actively kind of...
Like yesterday's game wasn't one for the archives, like, to know. It wasn't Armagh didn't win it in style.
No, it was exciting in different ways. And I suppose if you're a student of the game, you like the way teams set up and the patterns and the
movement.
Supporters want more flair, more and buying. Well, look, there was plenty of flair and there was plenty of attacking, certainly in the senior intermediate club championship opening round games. Andrew Moynihan joins us. Andrew, good evening.
Good evening, Donal. Good evening, Ed.
Talk to him there. Come here. We'll concentrate on the senior ones first. We might go through some of the results. I mean, the big one, obviously, Dr. Croft got undone by Dingle.
Yeah, and we were saying earlier, I suppose, if you heard back in January that Dingle have beaten Crokes in the first round in August or July, you'd probably believe it, but their county leagues differed. Obviously, Dingle getting relegated and Crokes unbeaten. It was the heavyweight clash, it was the pick of the weekend, and Dingle coming out on top by 6 points. It was a great win, high scoring, end-to-end attacking football. A real great watch to start off the club championship weekend.
Yeah. Liam, doesn't it go back to the point, if you put two sides that want to play football, that just want to go out and attack each other,
you get a game of football.
You end up with Dingle and Crokes. And they're probably our two best attacking flair senior teams.
And I would agree. I thought this was result kind of shocked me. I thought Crokes, you know, on the farm and the farm of Dingle. But then again, when you look at it, like, forwards win you games.
Yeah.
And when you have the three Gainies on fire like that, it'll take a very, very good team to beat them.
I mean, they scored 3-11.
3-11 between the three, No, so that's a lot of kicking.
John Cain, does this go back to the point that you can look at all the county leagues you want, but until you have your Kerry players back with you, you don't really know where you are?
Yeah. Well, absolutely, Don. Like, can you imagine the Dingle dressing room, 5 county players going back in for the championship against Crokes? You know, it was set up really. I'd agree with Liam. I thought Crokes would win the game, being honest with you. But three Gainies, Tom Sullivan, Barry Dan coming in. What a boost. And Paul Gainey, you know, an exhibition of scoring, really. 2-7. Fantastic.
And of course, they're defending champions, and everybody seems to forget about. The other game of the group.
A
real must win. Milltown Castlemaine versus Nagail. Two teams kind of struggling for form, really. But there was a winner.
Yeah, completely. Milltown coming out on top, 16 points to 15. What a win, you'd have to say, for Milltown. They've returned to senior and won in their first game, even missing Killian Burke to injury, their inter-county player. They're probably, like it has to be said, the two non-favourites of the group, but you'd have to say the confidence Milltown will get from that game. They really drove on late on, and it was a fantastic point by Hogan to win the game. And even Nagail, I just think Nagail are an unlucky club at times because of injuries and stuff, but even Dermot O'Connor, he had a shot that just narrowly hit off the post to level matters. And but what a start for Milltown Castlemaine. They've Crokes away next, obviously a huge test, but they'll take fierce confidence from that first win.
John Kennedy, when you're in a group with Dingle and Crokes, you need to win the other game. Obviously Milltown have done it, they're back senior again. How much confidence will they get out of that?
Oh, huge confidence, you know. And as you said there, look, Killian Buck missing, huge loss to them.
Yeah,
great win against the Nagail team, similar I suppose to Dingle, missing the county players. But they're, like you said there, look, they're missing a lot of players through injury. Hurling,
Abby Dorney, of course,
Abby Dorney, there or thereabouts. This is the group of death, really, like, because the next round is going to be critical now. You know, the Crokes Milltown game is a huge game, because Crokes have to win it. If they lose, they're possibly gone.
Yeah. But so, you don't see Crokes losing the next round, do you?
No, you will.
Well, we saw that last year when they went to Nagail as well, above, remember?
They got a few injuries the weekend
they
as well now.
They were struggling for form last year, maybe.
Shane Murphy was injured.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think Gavin White has had an injury, so.
Yeah, and these groups, your first game, if we could win our first game.
Momentum,
Milltown will be hopping going into training this week. They'll now bring on the Crokes. They'll be looking, Crokes will be coming a bit edgy.
Yeah.
You just don't know what could happen.
And that said, Nagail's reward is a trip back to Dingle, Andrew, is it?
Yeah, trip back to Dingle and park off. Like, oh dear, is what a lot of Nagail people would probably say, but you know, they just have to face it for what it is.
Yeah. When are those two games on, that group?
So in that group, in group 2, Dr. Crokes face Milltown at home on Saturday, August 3rd at 7 o'clock, and Dingle face Nagail at the same time at 7 o'clock in Park and Osick. Those are provisional times, could be changed, but that's what we have as of now.
Okay, super. Onto the group of debt. This one has Rathmore, Kinmare, Spa and Temple Now, and as John and Liam said at the start, you couldn't pick a winner who you would think come out of the group, so that makes it far more exciting. A win and a draw. Let's talk about the draw first of all. Spa and Temple Now, who'd be the happier, Andrew?
I suppose in a way Spa in the end, because they were they led by 5 at half time, ended up being down by 3 after 57 minutes. They clawed it out in the end. Temple Now had a chance to go up by 2 late on, but unfortunately missed it. Dan O'Donoghue, who came down the field, he clutched up, fisted the ball over the bar on 64 minutes. Temple Now probably will be disappointed with how they let the lead slip, but it was the game of the second and third quarter. Spa won the second, Temple Now won the third, by a lot, and Temple Now's third quarter brought them right back in, so they'll be disappointed in how they let the game slip in the end, to be honest.
Evan Cronin scored a screamer, did he?
That was a fantastic goal by Evan Cronin 15 minutes in. There was debatable whether it was a foul on Gavin Crowley in the build up, but Cronin was at an impossible angle. He finished it into top left, into the side netting even. He had no right to score it, but he did.
He can do things like that though. I've seen him do things. I've seen him do a lot of things, but he can do that as well.
I saw him do it in the school league against 6th class or something. He can definitely do it.
Yeah.
The other game in that group was Rathmore and Kinmare. I mean, at one stage I checked this on Twitter and I thought, yeah, Kimmure going to win this at their ease, but obviously that didn't pan out, did it?
Yeah, and I suppose Rathmore were sort of unlucky in that game because they had plenty of missed chances in the first half, but they came back in the third quarter. They had 10 points to 2 hammering, and they scored 2-4 in the third quarter and 1-2 in the fourth, beating Kimmure. I suppose John Moynihan really led that comeback. He finished with 2 goals, one from a penalty, but yeah, it was a great comeback from Rathmore. They finished winners 3-11 to 16 points, and yeah, Kimmure probably will be very disappointed, but as I said, Rathmore were there the whole time, but they had plenty of missed chances in the first half, which they came back to right their wrongs in the second.
Yeah, there was a small bit of belting and shouldering.
Yeah, a schmozzle late on, 3 reds. I think all second yellows, to be fair, by Sean O'Shea, Kevin O'Sullivan, James Darvady were sent off, but sure, all is in the tension of club championship.
John Kennedy would be delighted with that kind of stuff. Second yellows late on. Come here, Liam. How important is that win for Rathmore? I mean, they are a good side. They have good players. They're a good club team. They were always a good club team. Even when they were at intermediate, they were kind of a senior team, I suppose, in mind and spirit and the whole lot. It's a big win for them, isn't it?
It's a big win. The only thing, the draw keeps the whole group open.
Yeah.
You know, in the other side, it keeps the whole group. It gives every team a chance compared to the first group. Like Nigel now are really going to be struggling to, you know, whereas the draw, every team still has a good chance at this. But yeah, Rathmore have been, you know, they've been knocking it. I suppose, have they been overachieving or underachieving? It's hard to know with them because they're always at the top table.
Yeah.
You know, they're always knocking at the door, and you know, they're an amazing club. Yeah. They are an amazing club at the way they keep pulling players, keep pulling results, you know, and they did it in the weekend.
Yeah, it was huge. Spa and Temple, no, John, two decent senior sides, you know. Yeah. I mean, a point apiece in the opening round, at least you still feel you're in the competition. I mean, you know, would Temple Now be more disappointed, maybe?
I think they might be, Donal. But like Liam said, the pint will keep both of them alive. Temple Now could be disappointed, as you said. But Spa, always difficult. Mm-hmm. Last year in the County Senior Championship, they put in some great performances. You know, difficult team to break, mm-hmm. to break down. Well structured, well organised. Temple Now on the other side, like, you know, the lads coming back to Spillane's and Tig Marley. Marley was very good, I believe. So, you know, it's a. The next game was critical, but I'd say Temple Now would be disappointed they didn't get 2 points on the board.
Mm-hmm. Liam, when you're in with the Kerry team, I mean, your season is over. Do you want to bounce back to your club straight away? I mean, a lot of them played at the weekend. Maybe, you know, some of them were leading the line, some of them were maybe somewhere in the middle and somewhere mightn't have been seen at all. It's a difficult transition to go back in again, is it?
Hard. It is, John.
It is difficult.
It's still very raw.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's only 2 weeks?
Yeah.
Was it two or three weeks?
Paul Gainey, I read an article today about him and he said, sometimes the bag is thrown in the corner for weeks, you don't want to see it.
Mm-hmm.
But he picked it up and went back and you can be crying about what happened.
Yeah,
but you know, it depends on the individual.
It's like if we fall off a horse, they say get back up again.
Is right.
No, and it was the hardest part would be to get to the pitch and turn on the boots again. And once it starts, I'd say you start going again. They'll start enjoying it, but it would be tough. It would be hard.
Yeah, I met a Dingle mentor on the way last week, and God, Bale Bucht was going well there. He hadn't seen no senior player in years, I'd say, at this stage. And now they're planning to undo the next game as well. We'll take a quick break. After break, we'll talk the Intermediate Championship.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Now let's bounce on to the first group in the Intermediate. I mean, the Intermediate 16 teams. It's a notoriously difficult group to get out or get promoted a whole lot. Group A, Austin Stacks and John Mitchells. It was a big ask for the Mitchells, wasn't it?
Yeah, the All Tralee Derby. I suppose Stacks are tagged as favourites for Intermediate once again. And yeah, it's a real uphill task for John Mitchells. And unfortunately, that proved right. Austin Stacks winning 2-15 to John Mitchells, 9 points. Really impressed by Stacks, to be honest. I think they've much improved their depth from last year. They have the inter-county men, they have starlets that are now popping up to senior level. You've Paddy Lane, Joey Nagel, Armin Heinrich, Daniel Kirby came off the bench, and of course the inter-county lads, Joe O'Connor, Dylan Casey, Jack O'Shea spent a bit of time inside in the inter-county panel. All of a sudden Stacks have a lot more depth. They can spring lads like Michael O'Donnell and Shane O'Callaghan off the bench, and they're just looking a lot more impressive this year.
And Joe O'Connor hit the back of the net.
Joe O'Connor hit hit the back of the net in the ninth minute. It all started from a Joey Nagle block on Mitchell's kickouts. And McKivrigan found Lane inside, who kind of he hung around the 21-yard line, found Joe O'Connor, who twisted and turned, and he finished at bottom left. He's well able to take a goal, Joe.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. The other game, that group, two tough teams at the best of times, Glenbeglin Carr and Ungaeltacht. A win for the Mid-Kerry gang.
Yeah, completely. A very hard game to call, really, on paper, but Glenbeigh's goals proved too much for Ungaeltacht, and their newly promoted side to Division 1, Glenbeigh, they won on the scoreline of 2-9 to Ungaeltacht's 11 points. They're continuing their great form. Reno Donovan had a goal for Glenbeigh after a couple of minutes that really set up the tempo of the match. Ungaeltacht recovered well. They couldn't maintain their momentum, though, really, and even though Rory O'Buckley equalised on the 61st minute, you'd think maybe a draw is incoming, but Caelum Tighean put Glenbeigh and Carr ahead once again in injury time with a great point off his right. And just a minute later, Gavin O'Grady ran through the middle with a run that maybe Leo Messi would be proud of. He sliced that Gaelic defence and found Tighean, who got past him, finishing the back of the net. That was pretty much game.
I'd say Gavin's going to love that. Messi. Liam, when we look at intermediate, we're obviously talking about teams that want to get back up. I mean, some teams we think on ourselves should be up there anyway in the first place. Maybe they look a bit stronger. Sacks fit that bill, don't they?
They do, yeah. And they've really built a strong squad. I think Billy Lee and the lads, they were disappointed last year, and it kind of opened their eyes as well. But then again, when you have so many players away between under-20s and seniors, it's hard to get that gelling together. But what I'm hearing is things are going very well in there. They'll be hard to beat once they avoid injury. Injuries are, for every club now in this, because there's going to be so many games that at a short period of time, injuries are going to be huge here. But the only thing with Stacks, they have the squad compared to the other clubs, the smaller clubs as we call them. You know, they would have the players. But to win the intermediate, like I'm looking at the teams here, you know, when Stacks come to town, it's like a circus. You know, teams will be mad to have a go at them. Also, every game they go out now, there's going to be a bullseye in their back. And but I look, they're still going to be favourites to with the players that you just named there. You know, that's
well, they're going to have a battle with Ungaeltacht, and they're going to have to face Glenbeglin Carr as well, I suppose. Let's go on to Group B. It's John Kennedy was hanging around the Group B section there for a while. Let's talk about the opening game of the championship, Andrew. Lone Rangers and Rathallies. I sat here last week and I built up poor old Lone Rangers. More fooling me once.
Myself included, I put myself there, but they're two teams with big aspirations in the group of death, really. And Rathallies, they'll now hope to keep up that momentum. They really got the win at the end on a scoreline of 2-9 to Long Rangers, 13 points. They'll hope to keep up that momentum, while Rangers, they'll have to regroup quickly, because another tough game awaits in Group B at the weekend, where they'll play Kilcommon at home. I suppose the deciding moment in the game was Rathallies' final push with Tom Hoare getting a goal late on. It was a great catch inside from Tommy Walsh, because Rathallies, they trailed from the second to the 47th minute, but in the end, Rangers and Del Ruder misses. They had seven wides in the first half, and they could have really killed off the game there.
Mm-hmm. And of course, Tommy Walsh having a hand in both goals, and Barry John nailing the back of the net as well.
Yeah, Barry John, a scorcher of a goal from him, hit the roof of the net, and it lit the fire in the belly for Rathallies to rally back and win the contest. And you know, you have your inter-county men, David Moore and Barry John, and Tommy Walsh all starring the big three.
The other game in that group was it was a right battle, actually. Kilcommon coming out at the end, not going ahead till the very end maybe as well, against Listowel.
I suppose if you asked any Kilcommon player, they'll say this Listowel game is as tough as any other, because you know Listowel, they're the newcomers, and they'll have fierce confidence heading into intermediate, because they're there for a reason. And they led 5 points to nothing after 15 minutes. It took 15 minutes for Kilcommon to register any score. It was really neck and neck till late on, until two late Paul O'Shea points really secured the victory. I suppose he kind of starred for them, including Cian Foley, and it was a great catch from Brendan Keely inside near the end, because there was a high ball sent in. Cooley's alike from Keely, he caught it and really scored the win for Kilcommon.
John Kennedy, you were watching that game, of course, Kilcommon and Listowel Amos. Let's talk about Listowel Amos first of all. I mean, they're making the step up, you know, to that level. Based on that performance, they looked like they're comfortable enough at that level anyway.
Yeah, they were as like Andrew said, they were in control. Mm-hmm. You know, Kilcommon found it difficult to get a possession. The kickouts were a problem. Listowel's long kickouts, they won no ball around the middle. They weren't winning the breaks. Kilcommon, that's what kept them in the game, really. Mm-hmm. And I suppose the spine, the Kilcoman team, the two ladies, particularly Sean, a centre back.
Yeah, it's great to see him back.
Yeah, it's great to see him back, and he really dominated and dictated the play. And when Kevin Gorman, who was situated full forward, they brought him out, won a lot of ball, and Paul O'Shea, when they needed him most, when leadership was needed, he kicked a couple of massive scores. Yeah. But Listowel, no more than Galway, Listowel will be ruining the chances. Both sides had a lot of chances, actually. Kilcoman had their wide too. I think there was, they had nine in the second half. But a very competitive game.
Yeah.
Well refereed by on Moriarty from Dingle. You know, he let the play go. There was a couple of cards, but I felt it was a real championship, leaving the standard out of it. The bite was there, the intensity was there, and, you know, it went right to the very end. But one thing that was noticeable, really small crowd there. We spoke about it off air. The crowds, we expected big crowds for the first round games.
Yeah.
You know, Castlelyne and Desmond, the pitch was in excellent condition, well stewarded and everything, and fantastic. Fair play to the Desmond's club. But small crowd.
Yeah, interesting there. Maybe it's the neutral venue. I don't know what it is. Maybe they're waiting for the semi final or the final. Like,
Kerry supporters have met for semi finals.
We might plug away for that one. The other game, how vital was that win for Rahilly's?
It was a big win for Rahilly's, and it's the old Stodgers again that stepped up to the plate, isn't it?
Well, we're talking about Barry John, and we're talking about Tommy.
And Tom Hoare is playing very well from the last couple of years.
Yeah,
yeah, and a big man, big very athletic man, very consistent. Yeah.
David Moore. Of course,
and David Moore. But look, Long Rangers are still there because they're a young up and coming team, you know, and they'll fancy their chances in the next round as well. But it's wide open. But look, Kilcoman are a wily old team. They're around a long time, you know, so
absolutely. And Keen Foley, of course, got three good points there as well in that game. Group C, it's the group with Beaufort, Fossa, Desmonds, and Ballydunahoe, and a very narrow win in the end for Beaufort.
Yeah, and Beaufort really were tight as favourites heading into it, which is probably rightly so because they are that consistent intermediate side. They're really battle hardened. They led 8-2 at the break. You're kind of thinking, game over here. They increased their lead to 10-2, and then all of a sudden, between the 34th minute to the 55th minute, Fossa brought it back to 3 points, outscoring Beaufort 1-7-2. There was a penalty for Beaufort, maybe to kill the game. It was a bit of a controversial call, but Shane O'Sullivan saved Ronan Murphy shot, and then only 3 minutes later Paddy Clifford gets a goal, and you're thinking, here comes the Fossa magic once again. They seem to just get these results. Sean O'Brien had a 45 to settle Beaufort, yet Fossa equalised once again, but it was Kieran Kennedy who scored a brilliant point outside the D to win it for Beaufort.
Mm-hmm.
Deserved overall, and it was nice for Kieran, who I thought he was the best player on the day, to score the winner, as well as Nathan Breen. I thought he was fantastic.
And right north, Kerry battle on the other side, Ballydunahoe and Desmonds.
Yeah, and Desmond's come out on top in the thriller, really, 3-10 to 2-11. The North Kerry champions of Ballydunahoe facing a struggling Desmond side from the County League. It was a hard game to call, but a real cracker. Luke Brosnan goal just before halftime gave Desmond's a 1-4 to 1-3 lead. Ballydunahoe got a goal in the second half through Jason Foley. They moved ahead, but a Michael Walsh goal for Desmond's, Thomas Hickey goal for Desmond's, that just secured the win for them. And now they'll go to Fossa for maybe some sort of revenge for last year's quarterfinal.
Absolutely. It's amazing how they all get back together in groups and quarterfinals. How important was it for Beaufort to win, John? I mean, they're a team that we talk about kind of year in, year out. They're at the top of the table. They've been to a lot of finals, didn't get over the line the whole lot, but they're still there. They still turn up, but they needed this win, didn't they?
Yeah, they needed the win, and you know, I suppose for them, it was hard to judge from County League to Championship.
Mm-hmm.
You could see that with the Desmond's result, they turned it around. So it was always a difficult one, the first round, but Beaufort, they're a very consistent team. Have been looking in a few finals, as you said, and I think the fact that they had that lead, everybody thought we were looking at the scores coming through.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were going to win easy. You don't win easy against Fossa, and Paddy Clifford inspired the comeback. They just got over the line. Huge to get that victory.
And of course, Mike Breen and Paddy Clifford were chasing each other around the field. You know, which is what you want to see. You want to see Kerry senior players matching up and wish each other. Your neighbours, Desmond's.
Yeah, a good win for him.
Were you there?
I wasn't. No, I was out in Brussels. Knockery derby. Desmond's would be very happy with that because, like Adam said, coming off a poor county league, they wouldn't have too many county players coming back into him to prove it on. So this will give him a good boost of confidence now going into the next game. Like we said, the first game is always the big one, really, isn't it? If you can win your first one, it gives you a bit of momentum, and any team with momentum are hard to beat. But yeah, that was always going to be the Knockery derby was always going to be a clinger. It was going to be a hard one to call, but Desmond scraped it.
Yeah, Luca Brosnan on the goal, Michal Walsh getting a goal, and Thomas Hickey getting
it's
a goal.
It's the same names that are same popping names, up into yeah. Thomas Hickey, Luke, yeah. And other guys that we've
mentioned. Yeah. Let's go on to Group D, because there's a man here beside me, Metzog, Glenfisk's controversial maybe victory, or well deserved victory, or victory.
Victory. I suppose a controversial decision near the finish. A ball sent in high to Peter McCarthy for Legion. He got the ball, but I suppose the referee might have seen different. He might have seen that Glenfesk had the ball or something. I think it was an honest mistake from him. But perhaps karma for an earlier on decision where Peter McCarthy got a goal for Legion, where they might have got lucky that time because there was an arguable square ball from a James O'Donoghue pass. But I suppose you can and doubt the fantastic run in from James, who finished with 7 points on the day as well. He still has it.
He says as neutral as any Glenfisk kind of supporter. That comes with a huge health warning, all of that. Important win for Glenfisk, though. I mean, Glenfisk and Legion, Liam, I mean, they're two strong clubs, Enies, Kerry, you know. Legion probably have the senior mentality that they were up there. Glenfisk want to get up there as well. One of them had to win it, in a sense. Is it more important for Glenfisk to win it?
I think it is, because Glenfisk, they had the golden generation when we were playing against them. But I think they have a bunch of players now, a lot of guys that have worn the Kerry jersey at underage level coming up. You know, so a win like this, they want to be, like he said, sitting at the top table as well, you know, getting to as far as they can in these competitions. But it doesn't surprise me. Glenfisk, I've been watching now with the last couple of years, they're building nicely. No, the young fellas now are starting to grow teeth a small bit, and you know, so they, like I said, they'll take beating now in this group.
And there's still down a few players, of course. They were on sorts of holidays in America and working in Australia, yeah. And the whole lot, like most clubs, I suppose. The last game, Guineguilla and St Mary's.
Yeah, I suppose Mary's a struggling intermediate side with the last couple of years. They've been in the relegation playoffs, and Guineguilla, I suppose they're home to pull off a couple of upsets in the group. In that group, they won on a scoreline of 3-12 to Mary's 7 points. It was a handy win in the end for Guineguilla, to be fair. They took a 5-0 lead early on. Mary's did bring it back to 2, but Guineguilla got a goal on the stroke of half time, and Conor Hurley really ended any hope for Mary's. It was a 14 point win, I think, with the biggest win of the weekend.
Don't be saying things like that, Jesus. Well, Kieran Crowe won't appreciate that.
Legion Allegiant now in Glenfisk, that nice three games, yeah. Or two games they've left.
But isn't it guessed that, like, there's a big game in that group now, Guineguilla are away to Legion.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a big test for both teams. I mean, obviously Legion need to win to get back into it. But
Legion are coming to Guineguilla, are they?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you mean? Like,
it's a massive game.
The world, like, you know. Yeah. But this is a game that Guineguilla could set themselves up to try and say, listen, we're right.
We can have a go at this, yeah. Yeah. And they will over there.
They will, yeah.
And St Mary's and Glenfisk.
St Mary's and Glenfisk Sunday at 1 o'clock.
Super. Very quickly, you might just go through in the next minute some of the games for the intermediate.
For the intermediate?
Yep.
So the intermediate in Group 1, Austin Sachs are at home to Ungeltucht. That's Saturday at 6 o'clock. John Mitchell's are at home to Glenbegan Carr Sunday at 1 o'clock. In Group 2, Cairns Rathlees are home to Listow Limits at 1 o'clock on Sunday. And the other side of the group, Lown Rangers are at home to Kilcommon at 1 o'clock at the same time on Sunday. In Group 3, Beaufort are at home to Ballydunhoo Sunday at 1 o'clock. And Fusa are playing Castleline Desmonds on Saturday at a new time of 5:30. In Group 4, Glenfisk are at home to St Mary's on Sunday at 1 o'clock, and Legion, I believe, are at home to Guineguilla on Saturday at 7 o'clock.
There you go. That's all of it. And of course, this week the Premier gets underway as well, and the Junior gets underway, and we'll talk about that more in the next couple of weeks. Lads, fair play to you. Liam, I have a present for you.
Oh, Jesus.
Does it fit you? I was told you that.
So small, is it?
You can't go to you can't go to the ladies' final without a proper jersey. So hopefully this will fit you.
I said only we're going to get a bigger one than that.
So small.
We're going to need a bigger boat, are we?
Skin tight.
The ladies, of course, we're going to be talking to Margaret Flaherty after the break on that as well. How important is it, Liam? I mean, you've got your lovely T-shirt now up to Croke Park. Is it a game that Kerry can win? Is it a game Kerry should win?
It is. It's a game that Kerry are going to go in. It's fair.
It's a game they must win.
I think it is. Because without putting pressure on them, but I think it's, you know, they've been there for the last 2 years, knocking at the door. You can see the, we're not getting any younger. Some of the players as well, so it could be a last chance saloon for a lot of them. And I do think, look, if we can do what Armagh did and build all that hurt and build all that, you know, stuff that has gone on in the last couple of years, they can get over the line. But they're meeting a very good Galway team, though.
Mm-hmm. A Galway team that lost to Dublin a couple of years ago.
And they're after beating Dublin and after beating Cork, you know, so they're after taking two big scalps on the way, so they can't be taken lightly.
John, finally, going into a final, is there more pressure going in as a favourite or going in as a gang that have no hope of winning it?
Well, going in as a favourite, you're expected to do it. Yeah. And I think there's a bit of pressure on, like, it's three finals in a row and, you know, this is one we need to win. And I think that the squad is, there's a good squad. I think that, you know, we beat Armagh to the battle, really. And there's room for improvement. And I think that there's a focus in them when you listen to them afterwards. Mm-hmm. Some of the common sense, there is a focus that there's a job to be done. But it's going to be difficult.
Well, look,
we wish them well.
We wish them well. And we'll talk a little bit more about it after the break, after the news.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
At 7, good evening, I'm Tina Gates. A man's been handed a life sentence for murdering his wife in Mayo in 2019. James Kilroy of Kilbree, Lower Westport, claimed he was suffering from a mental disorder when he killed Valerie French Kilroy, but his defence was rejected. Outside court afterwards, Valerie's brother, David French, said his sister was well-loved and well-respected by all who knew her.
Valerie was a wonderful person. Her work as an occupational therapist with people in need of those services in Mayo demonstrated this. And she was highly regarded by her colleagues and clients there. Valerie was a great sister. She was very positive. She was highly capable and practical. She was also great fun.
Israel's Prime Minister has visited the site of the rocket attack in the occupied Golan Heights, which killed 12 children. Hezbollah has been blamed for the incident, but it denies involvement. Benjamin Netanyahu has vowed a severe response to the incident. It's expected to attack sites in Lebanon linked to the Iranian-backed terror group. Security expert and Senator Tom Clonan says there'll be concern for Irish UNIFIL troops serving in the region.
Where the UNIFIL troops are, which is south of the Litani, right down onto the border with Israel, that is going to be targeted. It already has. And as is the case in Gaza and Rafah, I don't think that the Israelis will pay any attention whatsoever to the risk of civilian, innocent civilian casualties or casualties amongst UN forces.
Merseyside police in England say they've arrested a 17-year-old boy in relation to a mass stabbing incident in Southport. Eight people, including some children, were injured in the attack this morning. Local business owner Carolina Kaminski is shocked something like this could happen in the area.
Knowing like someone is attacking people or our kids with a knife, Southport was, it's always very, very quiet place. So we've never ever, since I have my shop here, had situation like that.
An average of one motorist every hour is arrested here on suspicion of driving under the influence. The shocking figure has been revealed as Gardaí make a renewed safety appeal after another deadly weekend on the roads. Taoiseach Simon Harris says we must all make an effort to reverse the trend in road deaths. Superintendent Liam Garrity has this warning for anyone thinking of getting behind the wheel while drinking or on drugs.
So far this year, you know, we are arresting one driver every hour on suspicion of intoxicated driving. That's over 4,200 people so far this year that made a conscious decision to drink alcohol or take an intoxicant and get into a car and or vehicle and drive afterwards. They are now all facing prosecution. They thought it wasn't going to happen to them. It will.
The mandatory introduction of CCTV in taxis is being backed by the junior transport minister. The proposal follows the sentencing of taxi driver Raymond Shorten for the rape of two female passengers in 2022. It's supported by the Dublin Rape Crisis Centre. Joe Caulfield has this report.
Mandatory CCTV in taxis should be introduced for the protection of both passengers and drivers alike, according to Junior Transport Minister James Lawless.
Occasionally, as we've seen in recent court cases, things can go badly wrong. When there is the very odd horrific incident that can unfold, I suppose also there's a risk for drivers travelling around at night time picking up passengers without any idea who they are.
Chief Executive of the Dublin Rape Crisis Centre, Rachel Morrow, meanwhile, says it's a step in the right direction.
Passengers are used to CCTV on public transport anyway, and they understand its role in keeping them safe, as well as other passengers and transport staff.
And that's a sentiment echoed by these women in Dublin.
Yeah, like anything could happen, and sometimes you're blacked out, you wouldn't even know what would be going on.
And you don't know who your child is in taxi with. I have a daughter, she's 22. And I don't worry for her.
So, what's the view amongst the drivers themselves?
Yeah, I think it's great to protect us, protect the passengers. I think it's a great idea.
I think it's a great thing, you know, and particularly if it's subsidised, it'd be fantastic.
And that's your latest news update at 7:04.
Radio Kerry weather.
Now staying mostly cloudy this evening with some patchy outbreaks of light rain and drizzle, and it'll become dry further in the east of the county with a few bright spells of sunshine. That's your weather forecast.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, Mondays from 6 to 8 p.m.
Now, just a small bit of bookkeeping. A caller has been in touch regarding the information for the county senior hurling final this weekend and looking for tickets, of course. And we've gone on to Kerry J. Thanks to Miss Sweeney there for replying back to us. And their tickets will become available online tomorrow onwards. And anybody who has any issues with purchasing online, well, listen, rock up to the gate and you can pay on the gate on Sunday, which is great news. And that game, of course, is at 2 o'clock and it'll give you plenty of time to rush home to what, turn on the telly at 4 o'clock or quarter past 4, I suppose. The Kerry senior ladies are in action and we are really hoping that Niamh Carmody will become the latest Kerry senior football player to lift Brendan Martin. Now, Margaret Flaherty knows what it's like to win an All-Ireland. In fact, she was the winning captain in 1987, which was Kerry's only second trip to Croke Park for an All-Ireland final. She joins us on the phone. Delighted to have her as well, Margaret. Margaret, good evening. Thanks for taking the call, first of all, Margaret. I presume you were out training, were you?
Well, not quite yet, but we'll get there a little bit later, all right, for sure.
Good stuff. It's great to see that you're still kind of involved as well, aren't you? I mean, a lot of players kind of hang up the boots and they disappear off and do something else, but you're still involved and you're still kind of, I suppose, watching from afar, maybe.
Well, indeed, yeah. I suppose some people have a bit more sense than others and manage to dodge the bullet. But yeah, I'm based here in Cork, so I'm involved with the coaching for a ladies team in kind of Blackrock Mahon area called St Michael's and that. So yeah, we're getting ready for championship now in about 2 weeks. We're heading down to Beara for the first round of the championship, so that'll test our mettle.
Absolutely, and your geography as well. It's a good trip down to Beara. Come here, before we move on, just a little look back at 1987. I said we wouldn't dwell on it because obviously we're building up for the final this weekend. But 1987, it seems so far away from the world of today.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I mean, no comparison. I mean, I think, you know, they talk about now teams in the bubble. We obviously were in the bubble, and really, you know, the fact that, you know, very few people came to the games or even knew that it was happening, I don't think that really put in or out in us overly. We were just, you know, focused on playing and, you know, as you say, just a second opportunity to play in Croke Park, which was absolutely huge, you know, because, you know, we would have recognised from, you know, from the first 3 or 4 years that we played in terms of the facilities that we had that were made available to us, that, you know, this was definitely a step up. And we were definitely going in the right direction and that, but yeah, different time for sure.
Mm-hmm. Of course, you were the captain after Annette. I mean, Annette was 1986. I mean, you were following a lot of great captains: Siobhan Toomey, Bridget Lean, of course, back in 84, and Marina was there in 83, and I better mention Marion because she'd be giving out to me in 1982, and of course Mary Ganey was before that. Were you conscious as a captain heading in that you were kind of following a long line of great leaders, or was it just a case that it was handed to you? Because you did get an extra gig out of it. You got the late out of it, did you?
That's right, indeed, yeah. I suppose, as I say, it was very low-key at the time in terms of that, but I suppose Gay Byrne had obviously heard somewhere along the line and thought this might be something of an interesting, maybe a novelty and that. So yeah, we got on the Late Late Show there on the Friday night before it and that. So yeah. But I suppose in terms of the honour of being captain, well, that came through the club. At the time, Castle Island had we were a strong group and had contested all Ireland club finals and that. So, you know, it was just the honour bestowed by the club having won the county championship and that. Mm-hmm. So that's how I came to the job, as it were.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, now you're looking in from the outside, obviously in Cork as well. And I suppose you had to, first of all, I suppose, I won't say endure, because obviously there were a fantastic Cork team over the last number of years as well, you know, the Juliet Murphys of the world and the Breed Stacks and the whole lot. Seeing it from that side and knowing it from your own side, it has really become a difficult thing to do, winning All-Ireland.
Oh, hugely. So, I mean, I suppose even if we had looked at it this year, you know, I guess 2 months ago, I would have, you know, put my money on Dublin retaining it. They just look so impressive in that. And then, you know, Galway turned them over and, you know, it just opened up the championship for everybody. You know, it is becoming increasingly competitive, and which is terrific, you know. So the period where you get long spells of one team dominating, I think that profile of team and competition really seems to be coming to an end. I mean, obviously Meath did back-to-backs, Dublin came back, and then remains to be seen, but hopefully Kerry will do it on Sunday and that. So you're getting a greater spectrum and broad number of teams being mm-hmm. competitive at the absolute highest level.
Yeah, which is great for the game, because it grows the game as well. I mean, you need teams to think at the start of the year we have a genuine chance, because it makes for a better championship. Come here, looking back from 87 to now, what has impressed you most maybe about the modern player? And obviously you're training players now as well, and you know yourself, even at club level things have gone up to another level. But I mean, what has impressed you most? I mean, if you were sitting back in 1988, what would you have considered, geez, that would never happen, or that's certainly something that we wouldn't be doing, or whatever it is? But I mean, what's impressed most about the modern player, or even the game itself maybe?
Well, I suppose just in terms of from the player profile, I think, you know, just the whole you know, the physical attributes in terms of the condition of the players is just absolutely phenomenal. You know, in terms of the capacity of, I think, most of the players that day at this point, certainly at intercounty level, are capable of doing box to box for 60 minutes, which, you know, is hugely impressive in that. And in fact, just recently I saw that Mick Bowen had there was an article on the RTE Sport where they just profiled the week coming into the Leinster final, the preparation of the Dublin team, which was, I think, around the article was out in July, and it was probably late June or so that the Leinster final. But it was amazing, like the weekend before they had done a training camp down in Clare, which I think, in fairness, they had done pretty much every year. Then it went into the week itself, you know, where the training sessions, they had two what they called red sessions, which were high intensity. They had one green session. They had a walk through the morning of the match. The girls that weren't involved in the panel or were coming back from injury, they were in the gym at 10 o'clock. The team met at 11. It was truly staggering, mm-hmm. really, in terms of the whole preparation and that. So that was Dublin, but I think every other team is pretty much doing likewise. So you know, that level of commitment and time to the game, you know, was probably something that we weren't. You know, we did our Monday, Wednesday, and weekend matches and that. But in terms of outside of that, girls would have been playing other sports, but you know, gym sessions and that was nothing that we would have done at the time, for sure.
It's a long way from Mick Fitzgerald and Michael Ryan, isn't it?
It certainly is, yeah, absolutely, you know.
But, no, it's,
I think pardon me, sorry.
No, I'd say if Mick Fitz knew back then that's what you had to do to win in All-Ireland, he'd probably do that as well, would he?
Oh, undoubtedly, yeah. I mean, Mick always came across as a very, reserved gentleman and, you know, whatever else, but, you know, like the rest of us, was, you know, as competitive and, you know, keen to win as everybody else, and that's for sure, yeah.
Absolutely. Come here, something that has changed, of course, as well. I mean, obviously, you were there last year. You were getting wined and dined in the centre of Croke Park. I mean, was that a nice feeling to get back onto the pitch and see the crowd that was there and maybe see how big the sport has come? Obviously, they're going to be celebrating the 50 years of it now. And maybe, you know, that you've played, I suppose, more than your part on it, to be very honest, I mean, with that team and the whole lot. But what was that like last year to get back with the gang, get to Croke Park, and obviously we're talking about the Jubilee team?
Yeah, it was great, really. I mean, just in terms of even meeting the players and that themselves, it was great, you know. And it was funny because my daughter accompanied me, and you know, we met with the Waterford team because they had a kind of a number of teams there at the event last year, and she couldn't get over, you know, how, you know, the chat and the joking and all this sort of thing. She just couldn't get her head around it. And I said, well, you know, it was such a small community at the time, and you were playing the same teams a lot of the time, that you really kind of got to know them. And, you know, after the All-Ireland, they would have had a function, and both teams would have attended that. So, you know, to that extent, it was terrific to meet the people and that. In terms of walking out and that, I said, look, it's a great honour. Any day you get to walk out in Croke Park, it's certainly something to savour and that. So, it is certainly a major change from when we were playing, and you had just a group huddled under the Hogan stand, or dotted around the Hogan stand, and that, for sure.
Absolutely. They're hoping, obviously, that the attendance will be big, and I'm predicting it'll be absolutely huge, obviously, for the 50th. They will be resurrected and sent up to it. But playing in a stadium of 50,000 or more, does that increase the pressure on players, or particularly, we will say, the players that are going in? Because you're not used to playing that week after week, or you're not like the men's team, we'll say, that are playing an All-Ireland semi-final, or, you know, there's 40,000 people, or there's 30,000 people at a Munster final, or maybe those figures have dropped off a small bit. But does that put more pressure on, or the fact that Kerry have gone through this process the last 2 years, that surely should help them?
Well, absolutely, yeah. I think, you know, there's probably, you know, maybe four or five girls have come into the team this year that didn't start last year, but they would have been involved on the panel and that, and just that experience, because as you say, you know, the pitch is the same, the rules are the same, everything else, but, you know, just the noise and the atmosphere, and that is something that really would take your breath away when you kind of get out on the pitch first, in terms of the volume, and just sort of getting the head clear and everything else. So I think the fact that Kerry were there last year and against Dublin, and Dublin would have brought a very big crowd, I think it was around 50,000 or something last year as well. So I think that experience would definitely stand to Kerry on Sunday, for sure.
Put on your cap, Margaret. How do you think it's going to pan out?
It'll be very tough. I mean, you know, it was funny, in the semi-final, Galway had been beaten by Cork twice, came good on the day, and Kerry had been beaten twice by Armagh and came good on the day. So, you know, people learn a lot from the defeats and that. So hopefully, from the experience of last year, Kerry will have driven on. I think it'll probably be a very tight game, you know, won't be hugely free scoring or that. You know, I think that overall, like, I would expect that Kerry would win, because I think, you know, just in terms of the quality of the players, I mean, there's leaders throughout the field, really, you know, between Keighley at full back and Aisling in the half back line, and you've got Anna at midfield. Danielle has really grown into the role, caught some magnificent ball herself, and Emma in the semi-final and that, and obviously Louise, and that, you know, before you introduce Shifra, whom I presume will probably start, even though it was listed as a sub, but started on the last day, you know, there's tremendous experience and leadership there. And then if you look through in terms of the players to come on, just based on the team that started against Armagh, so coming in, then you had Lorraine, and you know, I think one of the moments of the semi-final for me was the catch that Lorraine made from I think it was a high ball that was kicked in by the Armagh player. She went up and fielded it head and shoulders above the Armagh girl, came down and was fouled in by Blaheen Mackin, who got a yellow card for it, and that effectively secured the game for Kerry, because, you know, down to 14, and Kerry were holding their own at that point. So I think that Kerry certainly have the quality to win it. Galway, that said, their half forward line is very impressive, between Olivia Dively, Louise Ward, and Niamh Dively. You know, that's a very potent half forward line, and then Roisin Leonard on frees and that. But I think our half back line are, you know, would be well up for it, and that, and, you know, so I think that on balance, you'd have to say Kerry, with the experience and with the leaders they have, should come through, but it will be very tight on the day.
Fair play to you, Margaret. For someone who's watching from afar, you certainly know what's going on all the same. Come here, listen, the very best of luck. You're a fantastic captain, part of a fantastic team. And of course, it's nice that you linked Lorraine, of course, because Mary Lane came after you as captain, didn't she, in 88? And of course, she is Lorraine's mother. And of course, Kathleen Corndane came in 89. And Eileen Darris had to wait a while till 93. And hopefully, we'll be adding the name of Niamh Carmody onto that list very shortly as the next winning captain. Listen, the best of luck. The best luck with St. Michael's, and the very best luck against Beara. We'll keep an eye on what's happening there as well. Margaret, thanks very much, and thanks for all you've done for Kerry Ladies football down through the years, and it's great to see you still involved. That's Margaret Flaherty, of course, the captain of the Kerry Ladies side from 1987, which seems like a lifetime ago, but it certainly wasn't, because those memories come back as fresh to everybody who's been listening to that conversation over the last 20 minutes. Up after the break, we talk to the Kerry FC Academy.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Now we're going to change our focus onto football, and of course, in particular, onto the Kerry FC Academy, who are, I suppose, busy preparing for their upcoming trip to England, where they're going to be taking on the likes of Port Vale and Plymouth and West Brom and God Almighty, every bar Man United as well. They probably aren't up to the level of it yet, maybe. But I'm delighted to be joined by the under-14s, Billy Stack, who is a dynamo's man. We won't say too much about that. We'll give him his second.
That's right.
That's right. Stuart Templeman is with the under-15s, and of course he brought Jack Daly and Shane Donovan, and of course a big welcome to Calvin as well with the under-14s. Billy, we might start with yourself. I mean, I suppose, you know, a big part of the academy is that you play all your games and the whole lot, but it's nice to kind of take the focus off and maybe head away and match your skills and your tests and the whole lot, and it's a big experience and different experience. Maybe go through the event first.
Yeah, I suppose, look, you're dead right. The bunch of lads that we have, like the level that you start with at the academy structure, League of Ireland is under 14. So, you know, we've had a pre-season programme with them for about 4 or 5 months before they even start kicking a ball against the other League of Ireland teams. And once they do start kicking a ball against League of Ireland teams, then we're developing different systems of play and so on and so forth. So it is a great focus for them to actually look at, you know, travelling abroad and actually expressing themselves against, you know, professional clubs and professional academies.
How exciting is it for you, coach? I mean, Kerry FC, it's at the beginning of a journey. I mean, Billy Dinn, he was on plotting the journey and the whole lot and laying out the map, but this is a huge important part of the map as well. You can't have a senior team if you don't have 14s and 15s coming through the whole lot. But how exciting is it at this level, this early on in the stage, to be bringing in, I suppose, talent and finding talent and developing
talent?
Well,
it's very exciting for a different number of reasons. Like, you know, you're looking at the opposite coaches, like, and you see the likes of Carol Lamb, who is, like, supposedly, like, responsible for the likes of Evan Ferguson and bringing the likes of him through. And you see, like, you're on the sideline against the likes of him. So, you know, there's different tactical things that, like, I'm involved in the game a long time as a player and now as a coach, and it is a high level, and, you know, from a coaching perspective, it's really interesting.
And of course, every day is a school day and learning, but the most exciting school day in the short term is the trip to England.
It is, and, you know, so, like, the likes of Charlton Athletic, West Bromwich Albion, there's an independent schools FA national team, you know, and for us, Canada have an international team there. So to be, you know, pitting your ourselves against the likes of that standard is going to be not only exciting for the players but coaches as well. Like, and you know, it's really good to see. It's one thing when you're actually measuring yourself against the best in the country, but when you're now measuring yourself against, like, you know, outside of the country at a European level and further afield, it's you know, it's really interesting just to see where we're at, you know.
As exciting, Stuart, as it is for the players, I presume for the coaches it's fairly exciting as well. I mean, obviously they're going over and there's Charlton Athletic, there's West Brom, the whole lot. It's a school day for yourselves as well, I presume, is it?
Oh, every day is a learning day. We can only test ourselves against the best to improve. As the boys, it's just the same for them. The better the opposition for them, the better they'll get. The better the coaching teams we're up against, the better coaches we become.
Yeah. Did you ever think that I'd be on the sideline someday with Charlton Athletic across the way? And
No.
You'll be more St. Brendan's Park and Clonmany Athletic and that kind of crack, is it?
Well, the old refereeing was kind of like up against both teams, really. Like, you know, you're a man in the middle, you're on your own. Like, but yeah, no, look, it was a new experience going into. I started out with Clonmany Athletic coaching, and it just took off from there. It's a bug that I think if you're a soccer man, you know, once you get in, you're in, and that's it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Let go. And it's something to look forward to, obviously, the whole lot. Calvin O'Sullivan, under 14.
Yeah.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
You're looking well and feeling good. And
yeah, thank God. Now, yeah.
And absolutely fair play to you. And well done for getting back in that, I suppose, incredibly tough journey as well. How excited are you to be looking forward to this?
It's very exciting, to be fair, because I've only been back now around 3 weeks, like, and even just to go over and participate against high level teams, it's just something to really to look forward to. Yeah.
Yeah. What's the attraction with football for you? I mean, it's a team sport. I mean, you go out, you pit yourself against possibly the best in Tralee first of all, and then you're on the Kerry now. You pit yourself against the best national and all that, but. This side of the coin, surely, Charlton Athletic, West Brom, I don't know, is Plymouth on the other side of the draw with the other boys? I don't know, they might have Wayne Rooney down there or something.
It's very high level, as you can expect, but it's going to be a good test for us, like, but I'm sure we can keep up with them anyway, and hopefully we can come out with something.
Yeah. Come here, Shane, how exciting has this journey been to date? I mean, obviously you were at the under-15s. Is this your first season?
No, this is my second season now.
Okay, so you're almost an experienced student at this stage, seeing that you started at 14 and 15. Does it get harder as it goes up?
The levels get harder as every other team's getting better as well, but, I mean, we're also getting better, so it's just good to test yourselves against the good teams.
How do you measure that, though, you're getting better? I mean, is it that you can see the style of play is getting better? Or are you getting quicker to kind of maybe take things from your coaches? Or is it just basically results? Or when you judge better, what's that?
The standards in training, you know, keep going up, and then, you know, playing in games, better passing, everything's just getting quicker and faster, and it's just good to see that.
Is that enjoyable then? Is it enjoyable when everybody's at a level that you can see that's rising and you can see yourself moving to another level?
Yeah, because if everyone else is getting better around you, that means that you're only getting better as well.
Absolutely. Is the man next door to getting better?
Yeah, he is, yeah.
He's not bad. Something said he was pretty good.
He's alright.
Yeah, we won't build him up too much. Jack Daly, you're very welcome. How long are you here? Is this your second season as well?
Yeah, this is my second season now playing League of Ireland.
Wow. What was it like to get the phone call the first day, or is it an email, or is it or trial, or whatever way it is? But I mean, the excitement of getting it moving from, I suppose, your club, and of course we better mention where you started off life.
Yeah, Park FC.
And you are a?
Park as well.
One, make it three.
Park as well, yeah.
Yeah, all the rest of them are trained tonight, so that's why we got the three of you in. What was that like?
It was very exciting just to know that I was going to be playing at a high level of football, and just very excited when I got the email that I made it.
Was the training a big step up from anything you'd seen when you stepped in first? Because Billy was saying that there was like 4 or 5 months of a period where you were just, I suppose, maybe just honing skills and doing a bit of that.
Yeah, it was taking a while to get used to, because you wouldn't be able to like train 3 times a week for your club. But now playing for Kerry FC, like in the academy, there was much more training sessions, much more demand on just physically and mentally, really.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, we're going to take a quick break, but after break, we're going to talk maybe a bit more about the academy and the amount of work that goes on there, because obviously, I mean, we're talking to three players, but I mean, it's a very busy place, Billy, I'd imagine.
It's a really busy place, and there's a, you know, there's, like, to be honest, there's an awful lot going on behind the scenes. Like, most people are just seeing what's going on with the senior team and the successes that they've had in recent times. Like, they had a brilliant win there in the cup against away to Cove. Mm-hmm. You know, but there's an awful lot going on. Like Damien Locker, academy director, you know, there's a philosophy of football that he's trying to implement. At under 14 level, we're trying to push players on, develop them, and like Stuart will let you know there that many of our under 14s have already played under 15 this year. There's under 15s that have played under 17s, and I think very recently there's a couple of new additions to the senior team that have come from the under 20s. So it's all about progression, and I'm at the bottom, you know, with the under 14s, developing them. Stuart's with the under 15s, and it's an effort that's going on behind the scenes that's being coordinated by a number of people in the club behind the scenes, you know.
Well, it's like every door, the front door is the most important door, and sure, you're opening the front door. What happens after that is somebody else's job, is it, Stuart?
Well, can be, yeah. It's all about progression, and it's all about developing the next senior player.
Yeah, absolutely. So, we'll find plenty of senior players in the academy, there's no doubt. Quick break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Now we're here with members of the Kerry FC Academy, of course, and they're busy preparing for their upcoming trip to England. But we're going to dwell down maybe on life at the Academy and what to expect, because obviously, Billy, there's an awful lot of soccer going out there at the moment. I call it soccer, it's football, but you know, for the GA people out there, that they'll refer to the soccer. But there's a lot of people out there tonight that are saying, yeah, my kid plays with the local football team. They're fairly good. Where do they go after this? The academy is there. I'm listening to the boys tonight on the academy. Obviously, I presume you're around. You're watching all the time for the next player to come through or whatever it is. How does that work? Is it trials? Is it an open door? Is it talent scouting? You explain it maybe.
Yeah, no, it's a very good question. I suppose the first thing is you are keeping an eye on the talent from a young age, and there's various ways of doing that. But obviously, then we hold open trials certainly at under 13 level. Like, for example, there's a centre of excellence that Darren Ahern at the FAI runs, so there already would be players ID through that program, and then on top of that, like, we've open trials as well, and it's people within the county and even people from outside the county that would actually come and trial for that. Mm-hmm. You've that kind of structure that's going on. But look, to be honest, by the time, you know, it gets to 13 years of age, like, we kind of know the majority of the players that would be, like, say, maybe capable of stepping up to two or three levels above where they're currently playing.
Are you looking for particular type of players? Is it skill? Is it strength? Is it reading the game? Does all that kind of come maybe after a while, maybe?
You know, I'm involved in the game a while now as a player and as a coach, and, you know, the answer to that question it probably would have been different a few years ago, but no. Yeah. I remember when this whole project started, and when Billy Denny called everybody in, and when he spoke about the fact that, you know, for him, attitude is the first and foremost the thing that gets a player where he wants to get to, and like got Billy where he got to, and he got pretty far. And you know, for me, that holds true. I think attitude is nearly everything. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the skills of the game, the basic skills need to be there. But in fairness, there's brilliant clubs in this county. Like you know, we've never been as strong. Like, when you look at the amount of, you know, clubs now in the Dingle Peninsula, for example, like, there was only one there for years, like Camper flying the flag, whereas now, you know, Dingle Bay Rovers are going very strong. Castle Gregory have a team, and there's a few others as well. So, you know, by the time we get players in, they have the basics, and it's about, you know, bringing them up to a level where they can do things a hell of a lot faster, under much more pressure, and being able to make those decisions very quickly, you know, under that pressure. In other words, I often say to the lads, you know, being comfortable at being uncomfortable is something they have to get just very familiar with, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the kind of pressure that you're going to be on if you have to push through that door, Stuart, because, I mean, like, being comfortable is not the place you need to be if you want to get to the end of the line or the top of the line in first place. And ultimately, you're starting your journey which could go anywhere. I mean, he can go into the League of Ireland with Kerry FC, he can go through Kerry FC into another League of Ireland club, he can go abroad, he can go to America. It's a game, and in many ways I suppose you're building up those players at 14 and 15 and 16 for the pet ahead of them.
Oh, it's life skills, the whole lot, everything, you know, preparing them for no matter where they end up, whether it's going to be back with Park FC or going across the water, you're getting the best out of them. Mm-hmm. And it's the best that they can be in pushing, like. And I think the main thing, for just touching what we were talking about with Billy there, is if a player is coachable. Mm-hmm. And that's the main thing. If a player is coachable, he can get to his, yeah, example. But if he's not going to listen to the coaches, then he's not a player you kind of,
yeah,
you're going to work out for you,
because like, in truth you don't have that much time to spend on a player who's not coachable. I mean, it may be different at club level in a sense, because there's always maybe somebody coming through, or you can always find somebody, but it's where that player wants to get to is basically the winning for you, isn't it?
Yeah, without a doubt. There's nothing better for us to see the boys progressing, like, maybe the boys, two boys over here from the 15s that they're getting called up to the 17s. Mm-hmm. And that for me is I like Billy, me taking players from Billy to play with the 15s. It's something we want, and we love to see that, like.
Yeah.
You know,
that's unusual that you mentioned taking from thing, because I know from my football past, I mean, you have a kid at 13 and the 15 fella wants him tonight to play a B game over the road and the whole lot. I presume there's a very open channel of development there, is there?
Yeah, we've effectively, you know, we've like, there's a protocol, like, and we follow that protocol. And like my job as an under 14 coach is to effectively develop the player that he can play at under 15 and onwards. And you know, you did touch on something a minute ago, and I think it's very important to actually emphasise, you can't overemphasise it enough, that we're not just developing players to play football, we're developing individuals' life skills as well. And like, to emphasise what Stuart said there, like, you know, how can you prepare well before a game? You know, hydration, you know, nutrition. Like, are you getting enough sleep? And you know, video analysis, are you like analysing the player you're going to be playing against, the team you're going to be playing against, and so on. It's a way more, yeah, there's way more involved in just a game of football. No,
yeah.
And they could end up playing any sport, and you know, in a few years' time, or they mightn't end up playing sports at all. They could be professionals in whatever career they endeavour in taking on. And like, for me, getting the training that they're getting right now is going to be beneficial across the board for any of that. And as a parent, I think, you know, that's one of the real benefits in getting, you know, a young child involved at an early age in something like this. It's really beneficial for their life skills going forward, you know.
So in 10 years' time, Stuart, yourself and Billy will be sitting down in the back corner saying, yeah, he was one of ours, he was one of ours, he was one of ours.
I'd be hoping in 10 years' time, myself and Billy would be two nice, cushy numbers with some big club.
You could do Terrace Talk for me, Stuart. Yeah.
Well, no, some coaching job, like, getting well paid, like, no work. You know?
Shoot for the stars, anyway. Is he coachable, is he?
Not. Diplomatic answer, yes.
Have you got a good attitude, Stuart Tipplement, and are you coachable? They're the only two things you need to know. Come here, Calvin. When you hear all of that, okay, that's the journey. I mean, you're obviously on your first step of it. What's it been like so far for you? I mean, what's the journey like? I mean, the going to training, the learning the new stuff. Obviously, you're doing that. I mean, but is there a stage where you say, I might go this way for a bit and come back? Or, I mean, are you all committed straight down the line?
I suppose it's different for every player, really. But for me, it's like, just follow what the coach says, and I'm sure the coach knows what they're doing, like, so once you follow those, you're doing the right things.
Yeah.
But no, it's been great. Like, you're training two nights to three nights a week. It's exciting going up every night. It's been tough for pre-season, but then once you get into the motion of it, then you're enjoying every day of it, like. And yeah, it's really exciting every day.
Do you have to have the enjoyment all the time, though? Does that have to stay? Does that have to be part of the mindset as well? That I know it's the journey, but there has to be a bit of enjoyment at times.
Yeah, definitely. There has to be, like, because, you know, if you're down every day, you're not enjoying it at all, and that's just going to not make you like the sport at all, like. So, yeah, and the coaches as well, they kind of keep your enjoyment up. Like, in some training sessions where we, like, play games, it's not full, like, committed for the hour and a half. But, yeah, there is times then when you need to be, like, fully concentrated, like, and know what you're doing.
Absolutely. Jack Daly, I mean, talks about the League of Ireland. I mean, obviously you're playing League of Ireland now. Some of the clubs you're playing against?
Yeah, we played Shamrock Rovers there this weekend, and yeah, the standard up there was very good, but we came a long way from last year, and it's just great to be playing against good players in the League of Ireland, and there's lots of different teams with just massive players, and it's good to be putting yourself up against the best in the country.
Mm-hmm. When you played like the Shamrock Rovers, I mean, obviously there isn't a person who doesn't know who Shamrock Rovers are, and that's the quality, that's the top end, and I suppose they're ambassadors for Ireland in so many different ways. Do you just go on the field and it's just Shamrock Rovers, they're just another gang, or is there a bit of awe there at the time, or is that gone now because you're in the academy and that's been taken away? I mean, it's just another team or the whole lot. But when you play the likes of Shamrock Rovers, you pinch yourself and say, God, this is Shamrock Rovers.
No, every game you play, you have to believe that you're going to win the game, and you have to go in with the right attitude, or else you might as well not play if you don't have the right attitude before the game.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all about just giving it 100% on the field.
Absolutely. Shane, Shamrock Rovers, wow, or Shamrock Rovers, yeah, we'll play them no better.
You know, when you go up there, you have to believe that you can win, like Jack said, and just have the right mentality when you're going into the game, otherwise you already lost, like.
Mm-hmm. When you're playing these teams, do they look at you and say, Kerry? Or is there more of an understanding that Kerry FC are there now, they're in the League of Ireland, the whole lot? Because I would imagine somebody from Bohemians or Shamrock Rovers or Drogheda or anybody that would have a huge history back in the day would say, Kerry, you know, they won't have the right attitude, they won't be coached as well, they won't be as good.
Well, I think that if you're thinking like that, you know, you wouldn't be really in League of Ireland. Like, I mean, you have to go into every game thinking that everyone's the same, that you have to play your best. It doesn't matter who you're playing. So, yeah, no, it's just, I hope that no one's be thinking like that anyway.
Absolutely. Come here, Stuart, you certainly have put the right attitude into these boys, because, I mean, that's the attitude they want. I mean, they belong in that pitch with all the other big teams around the place.
There's not one of the boys from Saturday that I can say anything that about, like, they just, anything negative about, they left their heart and soul on that pitch, and mm-hmm. they put it up to one of the best teams, which 8 internationals on the squad, Robbie Keane's son playing against them, so, like, I'm proud of them. They left everything out there, worked their socks off.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I think, just touching on that thing about other teams looking at Kerry, I think since we've got the senior team, I think a lot of clubs are taking notice, and they're realising that Kerry is just not a GA county. They're looking at us seriously.
Yeah, and that's important as well. I mean, it is important. I suppose flying that flag in the League of Ireland is the first beginning of that, and it kind of puts us where we belong. I mean, we belong in that as well. I mean, we've been producing players for years, but I suppose at this level now, we have a pathway that we can kind of maybe fast track a lot more players, produce a lot more players, and send them all over the place as well.
There's somewhere for these boys to go at the end of the day. Like the work that was being done the last few years before the senior team was Trojan, but when they got to the 19,
yeah,
it was, they had to go out of county, yeah. And I think this is
the great. Door was just shut, wasn't it?
Yeah. And I think the success that the boys are having this year is just adding to that. Like we're going to get, you're going to see the academy growing. Like there is assessments going on at the moment, as you were saying, about for the 13s for going into 40s next year at the moment, and the numbers that came in was unreal.
Yeah, absolutely. Come here, we'll take a quick break, and after the break we'll talk a little more.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Now, Donal Barron here on Terrace Talk. I'm in the company of Stuart Templeman and Billy Stack, along with Jack Daly, Shane Donovan and Calvin O'Sullivan, and we're talking about Kerry FC Academy. Basically, we're drilling down the whole lot. The pathway for the academy, there, Billy, there's 14s, 15s, 17s,
20s,
and senior. The top guy. It's a big pathway, isn't it? A lot of players going through it, though, isn't there?
There is, and it has changed recently. It was under 19s last year, and they changed it to under 20s. So it's a jump for 3 years, from under 17 to under 20.
Okay.
But when I say a jump, like recently we have a player there, Finn Barrett. He was an under 17 last year. He was under 20s for a small period of this year, and he made his debut. He was coming on as a substitute for the seniors recently, but now he's made his debut and he's pretty much a senior player now.
Yeah.
And
that story is the kind of story that can hold up to the younger academy players coming through at 13 and 14 and 15, because I suppose in many ways it's the success of the story that you've produced your homegrown player and you've been able to fit him in into a senior team.
Absolutely. Like you look at, you know, you look at like Seamus Coleman, he made his debut at 17, 18 for Sligo Rovers, his local club, and he eventually went cross channel. A lot of our best players down through the years in Kerry couldn't play in Kerry. They had to go outside of Kerry. Derek O'Brien, for example, he carved a long career with Galway United and some other clubs for the bones of 20 years. Billy also had to go ashore and so on. Whereas now, if you're a young footballer aspiring to play at the top level and become a professional footballer, you can play in your county and you can graduate through the ranks there, and play at the highest level in the country against the best teams in the country. And maybe if you're, I won't say lucky, maybe if you're good enough, you know, you can even go further afield, and it's great to have that, platform. And when you look at the man alongside me, Calvin, now, you know, who, you know, he's up doing Irish assessments at the moment and training with them. It's great to see a local lad, you know, at the very top of the game, and there's a pathway there. And if you're a young aspiring footballer, it's very, very attractive now to actually go down that road, you know.
Yeah, Stuart, you've put your life into football across the county in different areas and coaching and the whole lot. How good a shape are we in now compared to maybe before? Now, there was a pile of good work done before and everybody was doing their own thing and the whole lot, but now it's Kerry FC, it's the brand, it's the League of Ireland, it's kind of maybe stepped ourselves up to the level of the Cork Cities and the Treaties and the whole lot.
We're taking strides that are unseen in this county before. As Billy said, your players had to go outside of the county to get football. Now there's a pathway, and I think that's down to like educating coaches as well. There was a lot put into by the junior clubs of educating their coaches, and if that wasn't done, then Kerry FC wouldn't be benefiting from having good coaches in the county to bring on this venture.
Yeah, because the FAI have a good system with coaching and badges and the whole lot, that if you can get people in there that with the right attitude maybe and want to learn and the whole lot, there's a lot of knowledge out there that can be gained, that can go back into the game.
Oh, there is. There's platforms that, yeah, if you want to go in and get your badges, like there's online things. The FAI have set up very well. It's very easy now. Whereas before, like I go back 10 years ago, I wouldn't have known how to do it. Mm-hmm. Now it's simple. You just go onto their website and you can get all the information you need. Like, and just there's so many. Modules and all this that they're holding within clubs and even online, that it's a no-brainer, really.
It's the other part of the business, which is important, because you have to keep learning, you have to move on very quickly. The learning won't stop, Billy, because obviously the trip to England, I suppose we could call it the trip to England, I mean it's the soccer academy pre-season or whatever it is. What will you be looking at for your teams and players in that in particular? I mean, obviously, oh great, we win it and we come back, but that's obviously not what you're looking for. I presume you want to test players against other players and, like you said, maybe test yourself against the coaches on the sideline, the whole lot.
Yeah, it's mostly about the players, and absolutely, like obviously as coaches you get tested as well, and you learn, and every day is a learning day, to quote Stuart a few minutes ago. But you're looking, there's going to be very, very good opposition, so you're looking to see players in certain positions. We might try out a different formation or two, and you know, like there's going to be a lot of different learnings that you'll be able to take from playing at a high level. You learn more from that level than you would, like, say from a lower level. So we're going to take it on as much as possible. But then there's other things as well, like the fact of bringing them away for a few days, the preparation side of things, bonding as a team while you're away. It's kind of like that, you know, real professional academy kind of experience as well, giving them that, the way they're going to be staying in digs and so on. It's that whole experience as well, you know.
Yeah.
Taken away from the moms as well, like, so they have to grow up as a bit.
I was going to say taken away from their phones. Might be as hard. Calvin, very quickly, what's the Irish side like? What's that like for you?
Yeah, it's a real big step up, to be fair. You can see, like, straight away once you get up there, the high level that it is. It's just,
when you say high level, is there more speed, is there more strength, is there more
Everything, really, like, as you said, speed, strength, awareness in the game. It's just like you have to be switched on for the full 90 minutes, like. But yeah, it's a real test for yourself as well. But yeah, it's really high expectations, and yeah, as I said, it's just a real test.
Yeah, Jack, you've been watching a couple of the Kerry FC games. Obviously, the answer is I've been watching all of them. But in your season, they're going well, aren't they?
Yeah, they're doing much better than last year anyway, and it's very good for their second year. They got the final, and hopefully now next year they can step it up again.
Mm-hmm. Shane, are you looking at any positions on that team that you could have in, I don't know, we'll give you 5 years anyway, maybe.
Well, hopefully, you know, you never know what's going to happen, so just keep the head down and keep working. Like.
Absolutely. Did you ever think playing football at 6 or 7 or 8 or 9, that there was a real chance of, first of all, playing League of Ireland, there was a real chance of maybe getting spotted, moving up the ladder somewhere else?
You know, you're always hoping to get seen by other teams and the other, like, going abroad to England and places. And, yeah, no, so hopefully something happens anyway, but I'm not sure yet.
You just take it game by game?
Yeah,
absolutely. Exactly it, yeah. Come here, Billy, to wrap up fairly quickly, it's really impressive what you're doing. I mean, like Stuart said, I mean, 10 years ago, you know, there's a lot of good work, but now all of a sudden it's very cohesive. There's proper pathways. You're identifying players, you're finding players, and you're moving them along. But it's at its infancy as such, isn't it? I mean, like, you're only on year two or year three of the whole project? Two, maybe?
Correct, yeah. Year two. And, like, there was, an academy startup meeting at the start of the season, and we went up there and the FAI got some academies to present what they're doing, and the likes of, for example, Waterford United, they're actually gone down the scientific path where they're looking at metrics of players and using data science to actually bring out the metrics and identify different things that players need to do more of or less of and so on. So, you know, that's what we're actually up against.
Yeah.
But that kind of competition and learning what they're doing is only going to basically increase what we have to do and increase the standard of what we have to aspire to. So, you know, we are in its infancy. There's lots of improvements that need to be done, but I think we're definitely going in the right direction. It's very encouraging.
Yeah, absolutely. You're definitely going in the right direction. Stuart, you've settled down big time, have you?
Me?
Yeah, very calm. Survive, 35 minutes without?
Well, I haven't said anything that's going to get me sacked or anything anyway, so that's always a bonus, like. But just one thing that we won't touch on is that we have a women's team as well, under-17s, that are doing very well. Moving on to 19s next year, so hopefully we can get a few 17s coming in the next trials when they're happening, and produce a senior ladies team soon.
Yeah, absolutely. So, because it's all part of the club. I mean, it is that the ladies, the academy, the senior team, and all jigsawed together makes the club what it is. Guys, listen, you're an absolute credit. Welcome back. Fair play.
Thank you.
Good long journey. Got home safe and sound. Very important. And Jack and Shane, look, the best of luck.
Thanks.
Thanks
even
for having me.
Even though you are park players, but anyway, no, we won't say too much more about it. Billy, keep up the good work. Stuart, fair play to you. 35 minutes without shouting and roaring at anybody. That's a record. Up next is Talk Sus with Mary Conroy. Big thanks to Keane. And, well, we did have a producer. I think he's gone off down the field playing hurling or something there with Dr. Crokes. We wish them the best of luck as well. They're only junior level. There's no academy for them guys playing hurling. We'll do it all again next week when hopefully we'll be welcoming home the Brendan Martin Cup, and hopefully Niamh Carmody will become, I think, the 13th Kerry lady to hold the Brendan Martin up and bring it in. You never know, they might bring it in. Stay tuned, because there's a Galway girl on next, and she'll be supporting them, of course. Good luck. We'll talk to you again.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.